There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast after a long, long, long while. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi, Niksha.
How have you been doing the last couple of weeks, or months, or however it has been?
I've been doing fine. I got a lot of things to do for work, so I've been kind of busy. You've been busy, we've all been busy, and, That's about it. I've been playing some Magic, you know, the usual stuff.
You actually managed to play Magic? You?
Yeah, I actually went to a Two-Headed Giant tournament.
Oh, and you'll give us a report on that later, right?
Yep.
And we have a mysterious guest, don't we?
Yes, we do. He's here lurking in the shadows.
Hello, so who's everyone.
Who are you, mysterious person?
My name is Yuri.
And what do you do?
I play birds in Magic.
So, listeners may remember that guy that has a feud going on with Niksha about creature types.
Yep, this is that guy.
Yep, that's me.
So, who's on which side of the creature feud?
That's a good question. It's kind of changing all around. When I win, the inside wins. Side,
no, what I mean is, who represents which creature type? Niksha is obviously worms.
Niksha is worms and scarecrows.
Yes, that's why my birds hate him, because they hate scarecrows.
Yeah, and you had the whole avatar thing, right?
Yes, I have an avatar collection, although there are some newly rented avatars, so I need...
Yeah, we'll be talking all about the new product in a short bit, but do you all have a commander of the week?
I do.
How sad you sound.
No, it's fine. I'm guessing, Yuri, do you have a commander of the week? Okay, so Yuri, since you're the guest, you can start by saying, what is your commander of the week?
My commander of the jungle.
Oh, how
the
so?
The kitty cat.
He didn't even come out yet. How is he?
Wait, I thought you...
I mean, you can say that's completely legit. So yeah. Why do you like Lord Windgrace? So?
Everything commander is tough to kill. He's a planeswalker. You can just... He gets you value, your cards, even more cards if you have land to discard. And he gets you ramped up, so you can play or whatever you
want. Okay, that sounds legit. We'll be covering what he does in a show shortly.
Niksha, what about you?
About me, well, I'm going to go with Karador, since that is the commander I use to win the finales of a tournament. So, it was a two-headed giant tournament, and in the final round, to save time, we actually played a three-player two-headed giant free-for-all. So, there were six of us at the table playing a free-for-all, and... my partner that played Locust God, he tried to combo off, but they managed to stop all, like, 12 of his combos. But what they didn't expect was it's not Genesis. What's it called?
Primal Surge?
Primal Surge, yeah. That's the one. Yeah, nobody expects the Primal Surge, and then I just won.
Yeah, not the first time.
But yeah, the first two rounds, I was kind of carried by the Locust God. Although that amulet that you can discard your hand to counter a non-creature spell, that was really good.
A Null Brooch.
Null Brooch, yeah. When we played against Marco.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, you can discard your hand that has zero cards in, and that's value.
That's completely legitimate.
So, how about you, Igor?
I haven't been playing... Magic that much because I was working a previous job, got laid off of that, found a new job, and now I'm actually laying myself off of that job to get to another job.
Huh.
So I've been, you know, jumping a bit up and down. And I've been also playing Warframe, like the girlfriend says.
Oh, yeah.
We've been playing a lot recently.
Yeah, plus, I saw you playing a lot.
Plus, girlfriend and our friends, they've been playing the Tactical Alert that came out. They've been playing, it took them a couple of hours actually to finish it all. While I just got on next morning around 5 a.m. and just finished it in like an hour or something like that. She was kind of furious at me for that.
Yeah, I still haven't actually did that. So after after record this, I should probably go do it.
You don't have that much time. By the way, a couple of hints, you're going to be missing a lot of energy. And get things that are good to kill magnetic / robotic stuff.
Yeah, we'll see if I'll manage.
If you can take something like Trinity, the whole team is going to be grateful to you.
Well, when you take Trinity, everyone's always cool.
Yeah, but you'll notice that the whole thing says like level 10 to 15. They're lying.
Yeah, I noticed. I actually played one mission.
The defense?
Yeah.
You mean, oh, by the way, just a little bit to tell the people, even though they won't get it all. We were playing that level with a friend because he didn't have time to do it today. I was playing with him and two random people. And there's 20 waves that you need to defend from. And we did 19 and 2/3 of the wave, and then two random people that we were with started running around. They didn't defend the objective, and we lost, and there was like five of, enemies left.
Yeah.
We lost half an hour life. We were so salty.
But yeah, we are, after all, a magic podcast, and not yet a Warframe podcast.
Give us a week.
Or two. So, are we going to start with a little rumor, or are we going to go with the main topic?
Oh, please. Please, the rumor.
So, there is apparently a leaked article from the same guy that leaked the Masters 25 article and some others. He leaked that on the 31st, there's going to be an article talking about how they're abolishing the reserved list, but only for premium products.
I'm super fine with that.
As in, they're going to put Masterpiece reserved list cards in Ravnica.
That would be so good.
So,
but that's one way to ensure that Ravnica is going to sell even more.
So imagine going back to Ravnica, you have the 10 shock lands, and then you have Masterpiece dual lands.
I've been actually thinking about that. I was thinking, why can't they actually just print, you know, gold bordered things like that?
Yeah, like championship decks.
Yeah, why can't you print a gold bordered Black Lotus?
I mean, it's because they did it once or a few times and people liked it. So, you know, the same thing they do with every product that make people happy, they discontinue it, you know, like From the Vault.
From the Vault just wasn't selling that much.
Yeah, because they started making them bad. You know, if they just made good From the Vaults, they would still sell like hotcake.
I mean, even the bad ones turned out to have a bunch of value, like From the Vault Legends.
Yeah.
Some cards in that really jumped up in value.
They just had to stick to their guns and, you know, make better.
Yeah, but I'm not sure why I can't actually do better products, but what is your opinion of them doing that, if that's a real thing? The whole premium.
Well, product. It was about damn time. I mean,
I think we're all in agreement that the reserved list is kind of sucky.
Yes. Yep. They have a red bird I can't get.
So, a fun fact. We were talking about the reserved list before we started recording, and Yura was like kind of, I'm whatever about the reserved list. And then he looked which cards were there, saw a red bird, and he was like, damn it, I hate the reserved list.
That's awful. They can't just, I mean, they did it.
So he's super easily swayed, is what I'm saying.
Yep. But yeah, if they actually put Masterpiece dual lands in Ravnica, that would easily become the best-selling set in the entire history.
You mean the best-selling boxes ever?
Yes.
So your buy a box promo is the Black Lotus.
Yeah, sure.
But imagine that they did it.
Oh yeah, a buyout on all the boxes and they suddenly can't physically print enough cards.
Or even better, on a pre-release, you get like a gold-bordered Black Lotus.
I don't think they'll be touching the power line, though.
They won't be doing that, but imagine if they did that.
That would be something.
You can't play it anywhere because, you know, both the back isn't the official Magic card and the border is gold. But still you get a Black Lotus. Even make it foiled, why not?
Yeah. I mean, that would actually be fine. It wouldn't be worth anything because it's unplayable except in, you know, Vintage, because when people are playing Vintage, they just want people to play Vintage with whatever cards they have.
plus cube.
And cube, yeah.
And that would be really nice and great, but they're never going to do that. So I think we should move on from this.
Yep.
We have another, actually, speaking of Ravnica, spoiler.
Yeah, but
it's... We'll just mention it since, you know, it's here.
So it's a three double black sorcery, right?
Yep, Macabre Hatchery, maybe.
And you choose a creature card that costs one and put it into play from your graveyard, and you do the same for two and three. Is it power? Is it cost or power slash toughness?
CMC.
Oh, okay.
And the flavor text's variety is also the spice of death. Seraya, Golgari Shaman.
So it's an okay card.
If you're playing some really budget Alesha, you can do that.
Yeah, it's just it's nothing exciting, but
plus we're seeing the future of Ravnica.
What, death?
I mean, death has always been part of Ravnica because you need to have rot farms and everything.
Yeah, you need to feed the masses.
Speaking of rot farms and things that are decomposing, want to talk about Commander 2018?
Yeah. So how are we going to start this? We have the deck lists and we have like the printed new cards. Are we gonna talk about the new cards or like generally?
I think we should go deck by deck and talk about cards that we like that are being reprinted and the new cards that we think are nice.
So the first deck is Exquisite Invention. So Yurai, do you want to tell us what Saheeli the Gifted does?
Yes. Well, it's a 4 mana is Planeswalker.
It is.
It comes in 4 loyalty, which is nice. Creates a 1/1 servo art for +1 protect her. The other is also +2/+1. And why did that? So Healy has another +1 that next spell you cast this turn called artifact to cast it. Basically, if you have a lot of small artifacts, you can cast huge spells.
And I think that's the ability people should focus on when playing this Planeswalker.
Yeah, making 1/1 servos isn't really that.
It fuels your next +1, I guess.
And but what does their ultimate do?
So for each artifact control, create a token. It's a copy of those artifacts. And those tokens gain haste, and you exile. So you double up on the artifact.
That's the least important part of the whole text.
You're not gonna do it. You're really not gonna.
And if you do, you're already winning, so might as well.
But what I saw when I saw this commander is like a go wide mana rock artifact deck that uses Eldrazi Titans as finishers because, you know, when they cost 4 mana, it's kind of good.
Also, you can put all those Darksteel. What's the name of the Darksteel thing that gives all your things indestructible?
Darksteel Forge.
Yeah, you can cheat those things out and play super early. Because you could realistically play her turn 2 or 3 quite easily.
And Mycosynth Lattice is a lot better.
Yes, all those things.
So yeah, her +1, the actually good one, is kind of interesting.
That's the thing you should be focusing your deck around, I think.
So what are the... So let's see, what are... tell us one of the secondary commanders, Igor.
Just give me a second to find... Oh, I know who I'll talk about. My main man, Taunus, Urza's Apprentice. So for just 1 red and 1 blue, it's a 1/3 legendary human artificer, because of course, he has haste, and blue and red tap, copy target activated a triggered ability you control from an artifact source, you may choose new targets for the copy. You know what I'm reading here?
Combo?
Paradox Engine, yes. Oh, okay. You just need one activation of Paradox Engine, you can go infinite.
I mean, you just need some mana rock.
Yeah, you just need like... mana rocks that produce it like 1 mana and a signet or something like that, and you get infinite mana.
That's okay.
That's super easy to do, and after you get infinite mana, there's a bunch of ways you can win the game with, from you know Banefire to Comet Storm.
You making know, just having attack. Infinite mana, I think that people might find a way to.
Yeah, that's the thing, and in blue you can have all the artifact tutors you want, so it's quite easy to get to the cards you need, and he's super cheap.
The next one is Broodyclad, Telchor Engineer,
I think it's Telchor.
Let's say Telchor. So it's a 4 blue and red for a 4/4 legendary artifact creature artificer. Sure. Creature tokens you control have haste. At the beginning of combat on your turn, create a 2-1 blue mirror artifact creature token. Then you may choose a token you control. If you do, each other token you control becomes a copy of that token. So it's a really bizarre combo-like go-wide token strategy for artifacts.
You know what combos well with this one? Dead Wurmcoil Engine.
Yeah. Or you copy your Wurmcoil Engine, and then
definitely
you get a lot of Wurmcoil Engine.
And attack with all your Wurmcoil Engines, and then start sacrificing with Ashen's Altar.
Or another thing that I also saw, it's in the deck, is Scuttling Doom Engine.
Oh god.
So yeah, you just get like seven of your seven tokens, and one of them is a copy of Scuttling Doom Engine, and then you attack with a lot of Scuttling Doom Engine. Or you can just sacrifice them and kill Pug.
Plus, the thing is also in deck, Mirror Battlesphere works really well with this one.
It does. It really does.
Yurai, what's the next legendary creature you want to talk about?
Well, I would talk about the Bancom.
Which one?
But let's first do the Varchild while we're at this deck.
Yeah, sure.
First of all, what is Varchild doing in an artifact deck?
Well, we just first find...
But she makes token.
Yeah, I mean, that makes kind of sense, but again, thematically not much on point. But Yurai, what does she do?
Just give me a second while we find her, or you can scream.
Well, I mean, okay. I know what she does. Whenever she deals combat damage to a player, she makes tokens for your opponent. And
they're survivors.
Yes, they are.
They're gonna make it.
And those tokens cannot attack or block you, or a planeswalker. So basically, they can only kind of do her bidding and go around the table with other players, if there are. And she dies, just leaves the battle, and better survivors back to...
Of course, this is a reference to Valchard's War Raiders, or whatever the card was called. And basically, the card had a cumulative upkeep of giving your opponent, target opponent, a 1-1 survivor token.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know about the card.
Yeah, that was an Ice Age card. People actually used to play it a lot in Zidr and things like that.
Yeah, because it's an easy token.
Yeah. And this card, I'm not sure what to do with it.
I think the correct answer is nothing.
Looks like her aggressive, but not for this.
Not as, I mean, that's on, in which deck to put her, actually.
Is she her own deck?
How do you win, though?
With Survivor? Like yeah, a Survival what... Tribal?
What do we do with... No. There must be something to do with it. You can always have her in a token deck. Make sure she hits people a couple times. Sack her. Get all the tokens and do something like Goblin Bombardment, I guess.
You can use that... what was it? The year before the last or something like that. That Naya beast that gave +2/+0 to creatures that aren't attacking you.
Not Gave, but Gahiji.
Yeah, Gahiji Honored One.
That was actually 2013.
Okay, wow, time sure does fly.
That was in, the 3 mana, the guy that was 0/0 elemental.
Marat,
Wild Wilds.
The one with the day 1 errata.
Yep, no, day 0, next year. Day 0. Marat, Wild Wilds. I mean, if you have a good way for her to actually hit people, and a solid way to actually sack her or something like that, you could do something tokeny, or at least sack-worthy.
Yeah, but still, it's a card that doesn't really... I mean, it kind of fits this deck if Broodyclad is your commander.
Yeah. Again, they split the deck in like two parts.
But... Lucky. This deck is actually the least split of all of them.
Yeah, and any cool reprints that we have in here?
No. Short answer, no. Long answer, definitely.
Give me 1 second to actually see if there's any... there's the Magnifying Glass.
yes. And, there's Soul Ring.
And no notable reprints. Chaos Warp.
Oh, yeah. Chaos Warp is definitely a cool reprint.
Actually good. Out of creatures, I think I saw one good thing. Soul New Phyrexia is cool. Duplicate is also cool.
Mimic Vat.
Yes, Mimic Vat is also nice. And Unwinding Clock.
Yeah.
And Mirror Works. and out of lands, there's nothing. Okay, subjective reality.
So we're that's... going... Oh, I just want to mention that the Yoink Goblin is in this deck.
Oh yeah, what does it do?
The Yoink Goblin, so Treasure Nabber, is 2 and a red for a 3-3, 3-2 Goblin Rogue. Whenever an opponent taps an artifact for mana, gain control of that artifact until the end of your next turn. And he's holding a Sol Ring in his...
Yeah, but it's a really interesting card.
It breaks the... It breaks... What are they called? Paradox Engine combo.
Yeah.
I just can take your opponent's artifact and seg them. I play red artifact. So you him there without trying to hate any.
Speaking of, this is a really good Taxon card for your opponents. If you get this guy nice and early, they're not going to be playing so many mana rocks because, you know...
Oh, they will, but they'll have to think what they're spending it on.
That's the thing. Is it worth to cast this spell? Because if I do this and then somebody else plays a spell, what is my opponent's turn going to look like? Because when you start like turn 4 with 8, 9 mana, it's a bit different than, you know, starting with 3 or 4 mana.
So...
One more card I want to mention is the guy whose job description I want to have. Vedalken Humiliator. Imagine just being, you know, the local humiliator in the building.
Yeah, that sounds peachy.
3 and a blue, it's a Vedalken Wizard, that's a 3-4, Metalcraft. Whenever he attacks, if you control 3 or more artifacts, creatures your opponent's control lose all abilities and have base power and toughness 1-1 until the end of turn.
And who will stop you? And who will stop me? You?
Yeah, it's a standard blue player's flavor text. It's a really cool card, and I think that's about it. The Coveted Jewel is also here, which is a weird card.
It's a monarch card.
Basically, what does it do, Niksha?
Let me just find it. So it's like 6 mana. For a artifact that when it enters the battlefield, you draw 3 cards, and it gives you 3 mana of any one color. And when somebody hits you with a creature, actually, when they attack and aren't blocked, so they don't even have to hit you, that player draws 3 cards and gains control of the jewel and untaps it. So, yeah, it's kind of a risky card.
Too risky if you ask me.
Definitely.
It's again one of those cards that I can artifact, sacrifice, play it and the value.
Well, that is true, because when you're playing mono-red artifacts, card draw is limited. So even for, like, 6 mana for 3 cards...
Look at it this way, it's 3 mana.
Yeah, it's 3 mana. But you need to have 6 lands.
And you need to have a good way to actually get rid of this.
Well, when your commander is, what's he called? That ingenious thinker. Slobod.
My Slobod. He just sacrifices artifact and makes other artifact destructible.
Yeah, but in any other deck, this is a really risky thing to have.
Except, like, a prison deck that doesn't allow people to attack you.
Yeah, but even in the prison deck, just apologize. Even in a prison deck, this is a bit too much mana for it to be worth, because in prison deck, you're counting on you not having a lot of mana. So 6 mana is basically a dream scenario.
So all in all, I would say that I'm gonna say it has some thought when they crafted this deck, because it works with itself pretty well. It has win conditions, it has way to get to those win conditions. It does have protection options, but hey, can't put everything.
Yep.
There are some, like, questionable cards, but hey.
At least there's 38 lands in this deck.
Yeah.
So, next deck is Subjective Reality.
Oh yeah, this is my favorite of the lot.
Likewise, we have the Aminatau, the Fate Shifter is the Planeswalker. For white, blue, black, 3 loyalty, Planeswalker, +1. Draw a card, then put a card from your hand on top of your library. That's... We had similar effects to this, but not like this. -1, exile another target permanent you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control. And -6, choose left or right. Each player gains control of the only non-land permanents other than Aminatau, the Fate Shifter, controlled by the next player in the chosen direction. And this can be your commander. Mostly what I would focus is the -1.
Yep.
Because the thing you can play with this is the Felder Guardian.
And you get the triggers.
Yeah, and then just pick, you know, something like Bloodseeker. Whenever a creature comes into play under your control, target player loses 1 life. And just keep doing that. Basically, the crazy cat lady, but in better colors.
She's just a crazy kid.
Yeah, because this crazy kid is in colors that can tutor, you know, all the artifacts you need and all the things you need, because blue and black.
Yep.
And removal of the white.
Yeah, white is like not really.
It's good. Yeah, yeah. Say.
Can I just mention, before we start talking about good decks, it's pretty crazy general. You can play her Leviathan Commander and quest for if you have enough.
I mean, yeah. Well, on the other hand, you're taking all the good tutors and just doing that, but, you know, to each his own, I guess.
Well, that's a way to, like, you know, play Rexial as not your commander and then beat people with Rexial.
That's a good point. I'm okay with that.
And, you know, blue and black have a decent number of Leviathan.
Now, the rest of the decklist, just the reprints are kind of weird. We have High Priest of Penance.
Who doesn't do anything in the deck.
But we also have, you know, Dusk Mantle here and Ninja of Deep Powers and Mold Drifter and Phyrexian Delver and Sphinx of Jwarael and Set Avatar. And what the hell is this deck?
So, let's see, before we comment on what's in the deck, let's see what the rest of the commanders are. So, we have Yennet Cryptic Sovereign, which is it's quite an odd card. So, for 2 and Esper, so 5 mana, for a 3-5 Flying Vigilance Menace Legendary Creature Sphinx, whenever Yennet Cryptic Sovereign attacks, reveal the top card of your library. If that card's converted mana cost is odd, you may cast it without paying its mana cost. Otherwise, draw a card.
This is a weird one. I guess this encourages you to manipulate the top of your library.
Well, I'm looking at it more as more like I watched the Karador. So you just, you know, play all odd cards in the.
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. You're getting value either way.
You either draw or you get a free card.
And which is nice.
You know what's a really good odd card?
Which one?
Void Winnower.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Paradox Engine because, you know.
No. Because with Void Winnower, you're odd and your opponent can't even. Yeah, I'm still going to keep you lying.
Of course you are.
I'm a judge after.
That's the point. Yuri, what's the next legendary you want to mention?
This deck or whatever, yes, I want to mention?
Yes, from this one. We'll go piece by piece.
It's Varina.
Queen.
Almost. Queen. Almost.
Yeah. Almost. Almost. Almost.
Don't call the. Well, 4 mana, 4/4, many cards, discarded many cards, great, besides all
I was
around.
Gonna say, I'm focusing more on, you know, drawing and discarding than gaining life.
Yeah, but zombie, that's kind of, but she's giving, she loots of cards, also she makes her ability. Pays 2 mana and 2 cards from the graveyard to tap.
Now, it does make sense that she heals it because she's a lich, so.
Oh, they do it have works with Lich's Master.
Of course.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. But do you see yourself making something like a zombie deck with this?
Not yet. I mean, but the thing is, I think that she might be a good contender to the Scarab God for a very good zombie command.
Mm-hmm.
Because looting in zombies, especially when you loot for every zombie that's attacking, and not that irritating. When one or more zombies attack, draw a card, discard a card. So, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, and she fuels herself, her own.
And a thing to mention is that you can actually play the Amon Cat zombies with her.
Yep, the mummies.
Yes, which is nice. I think that's one of the reasons why she actually has white in her color identity.
Yeah, so you can play all the zombies.
Mm-hmm. Plus, white gives you some really nice removal and things.
And more reanimate.
Yeah, I mean, white's reanimation is iffy at best.
But white-black reanimation is quite strong.
That's a different thing. Yes. And the last one that I'm surprised Nixia didn't jump to because it's a special thing.
I didn't because it's a tertiary color. So it's not even a secondary because it's two colors.
So, Yuriko, the Tiger Shadow. For 1 blue and a black, it's a 1/3 legendary human ninja with commander ninjutsu of black and blue.
Wow.
And Commander Ninjutsu works exactly how you think it does. You ninjutsu tutor from your hand or from your command zone, even though from the command zone it has a bit less of a surprise. But whenever a ninja you control deals common damage to a player, reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. Each opponent then loses a life equal to that card's converted mana cost. So Nixia, you're the resident ninja player here, what do you say?
She's a really good 99.
Mm-hmm. What, you wouldn't play her as a commander?
I will definitely try her as a commander, but I have a lot of things to say about her, and I'd rather I keep it for when we're going to discuss these cards more competitively.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I wouldn't be surprised if you did an actual episode just about, you know, her and the Sick compared to one to another.
Let's just say that Yuriko suffers the same problem Reaper King does. Ninjas are bad.
Yep.
Because once they're not blocked, they become very blockable. Quite blockable, I would say.
Would you play something like Arcane Adaptation in a ninja deck?
See, now that's an idea. That is an idea because then Yuriko might have, like, better sense as a commander, but still the life loss, it becomes kind of iffy because you're not playing expensive cards. You need cheap cards to make way or to have unblockable dudes.
Niksha, don't look at it as the way for your opponent to lose life.
I know,
look at it as card draw that also, by the way, drains your opponent.
I know, but, you know, Sig kind of does that, and he can do it on every turn. But yeah, with Arcane Adaptation, it might be better, but there is such a thing as too much cards.
What?
I know, I'm shocked as well. But you can have too much cards sometimes.
You're dead to me, Niksha. After this heresy. But for real, she seems like a good ninja commander. I still think Sig is a bit better, honestly.
And as I said, I'll go over the reasons why.
Yeah.
In a later episode.
Can I actually mention one card?
Yeah,
I'm really glad that Wizards of the Coast have decided to, you know, make me a Magus. I'm really happy about that.
Oh yeah, Magus of the Balance.
Because this is an actually balanced Magus. For one and a white, it's a 2/2 human wizard. Four white and a tap. Sacrifice Magus of the Balance. Each player chooses the number of the lands they control equal to the number of lands controlled by the player who controls the fewest, then sacrifice the rest. Player discard card and sacrifice creatures the same way. This is extremely balanced.
Yep.
But it's the only way they were going to give me balance on a stick.
And it's also a Magus. And Yura here collects Magus. Is it Magus?
Oh, there you go.
It's Magus.
It's Magi.
Oh.
You know, it's three Magi, the guys who came to Jesus and stuff.
Oh. Okay.
There you go.
I'm not going to correct you. I don't.
Oh, no, I legitimately know.
I'll trust you. Yes, I do collect Magi, right?
And yep.
This one is you can actually play the strategy Leviathan. get the one skies, the one that the other
and the skies follower, yeah.
Yeah, and you can sacrifice this guy, kill everything.
Wow. I'm pretty sure that the well-timed balance would do that anyway, but
but that's really hard to pull off because you need your Leviathan to speed.
Yep.
Because you have to sacrifice Magus and then donate. So you need the flesh to flash him in.
Can you stack that doesn't?
Now, Niksha, there are two good things about this card. Do you know which ones they are?
Well, it costs.
I was gonna go refer to more the power and the toughness.
Oh, it's actually the perfect magic.
There you go, Niksha.
Actually, plus the perfect magic card.
And it kills lands. So actually, the perfect magic card. You can get it back with Alesha, you can 2/3 it with any of the two recruiters. And
three recruiters now.
Oh yeah, and it kills lands. So what more do you want?
Well, it doesn't kill artifacts.
Yeah, it doesn't, but that's the point. You can actually be a bastard with artifacts with this one.
So yeah, I'm not looking forward to playing against your Alesha with Magus of the Balance, because that doesn't seem balanced.
I don't think it's actually going to go in.
Oh wow, okay.
It's four and a white and a tap to do a balance. I'm not sure that's actually good enough for me. Now, if RC would be kind enough to actually unban balance, that would be sweet.
Well, balance isn't banned in 1v1.
No, but it's banned in actual commander, you know, the good one.
Well, a card I'm excited in this deck is actually Loyal Subordinate.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's a 2 and a black for a creature zombie. It's 3/1 with menace. It has lieutenant. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you control 4 your commander, each opponent loses 3 life.
Gee.
Gee, if only there was something that triggers on losing 3 life. Like, specifically 3 life.
But Nyxra had a problem of justifying how to put this in his ninja deck. And the explanation was actually quite simple. You see, he's a zombie, right? And just that. Which means he's jobless, he's actually spending time with brigands and rogues and ninjas. Yep. And there you go. And he actually became a lieutenant, so he kind of has a job.
So yeah, he curves perfectly with Sig. A 3 mm-hmm. draw. So yeah, that's quite a nice card for my...
So you can actually start drawing cards immediately when the guy comes into play.
Yep. So...
Yurai, anything else you like?
Yes, I like the Loyal Drake.
No, he's in the previous deck, but mention what he does.
Yeah, I really like him because it fits perfectly in my anima. And that's the only competitive play. Perfect.
What does the Drake do?
So the Drake is 3 mana. 1 blue and 2 flying Drake. With the beginning of combat of your turn, you draw a card if you're a commander. So if you have Animar, he gets cheaper. Some counters on your Animar. So you can only 1 man. And right away, if he doesn't get a card, combat and get a card. So he replaces himself every other turn after another card. So great value.
So basically, yeah, he draws cards. And that's why...
He's in fine.
I mean, yeah, drawing cards is really good.
You know what's a cool card? Sower of Discord for 4 and a black creature demon 6/6 flying. As Sower of Discord enters the battlefield, choose 2 players. Whenever damage is dealt to one of the chosen players, the other chosen player also loses that much life. Put this into your Saskia deck.
And then name the chosen player with Saskia again.
Yep.
And then attack with Hydra Omnivore.
Oh god, I can't even actually do the math.
Yeah, one of the players is going to die a horrible death.
You attack with a 3/3 infect creature. It goes through. One of them is going to die.
Fun time.
The other opponent, of course, is not going to die because they just lose life, not, you know, get infect, but still.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a fun demon.
There is a couple other cards in this deck that are actually quite fun. And tell me if you see the, you know, theme. Brainstorm, Ponder, Portent, Predict, Telling Time.
Is it really good blue spells?
Yes.
It's plus, just good blue spells.
Portent and Predict are actually getting a reprint, and that's kind of big. Because Predict was like a $4 card.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's played in Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And Portent will actually be getting a first print since Ice Age, I think? Because it's a slow trip.
Portent is just Ponder.
Yeah, but it's a slow trip, not a cantrip.
Okay. It also is a miracle enabler on your opponent's turn.
And there's a couple of miracle cards in this deck, so...
So yeah, that's one of the themes of the deck, is miracle, because, you know, your commander enables it. But another... interesting sub-theme of the deck is actually manifestation. So when you manifest your things, you can flicker them with your commander and you get the big things, the actual things.
Yeah.
And since you're manipulating your top of the library, you can easily get like big cards through manifest.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem I have is the end game of the deck is very iffy.
What the hell is it trying to do? It's trying to have both, you know, Sphinxes and Ninjas and top of the library and manifest at the same time.
It's all over the place and it's not good at anything, really.
Basically, remember what happened with Commander 13 products. This is it, but worse.
Yeah, it's just it's a themed pile, but it's still a pile.
Yeah. There's cool cards, but, you know...
There could have been...
Speaking of the great offender of the product, want to talk about Nature's Vengeance?
Oh, yeah. So.
So, people have been pissed about this deck a bit online.
So, Yurei, why don't you tell us what does Lord Windgrace?
Since you like him so much.
Fine, I was waiting. Lord Wind, 5 mana, 5 loyalty, battlefield, plus 2 lets you discard a card and draw a card, and discard the land card, no cards. other ability can return your graveyard. It's great, it's the time. A minus 3 slot on the minus part. It's a great ramp. You can plus 2 discards and ramp up. Ultimate is 11, destroy up to 6 target. Then create in catwalk game.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna finish at 6.
I mean, you destroyed 6.
All 6.
Maybe you should have killed all the lands previously. I'm just saying.
So, and here we get to the land matters.
I mean, I kind of see the theme, because there's a bunch of things actually referring to lands, but it doesn't actually have a lands matter feeling.
So, yeah, that was one of the commanders. Wanna mention the Alesha-like commander?
Gyros, I mean Gyros, Walker of Corpses, Waker of Corpses, I apologize. For X and a Jund, it's a 0/0 legendary creature Hydra, so it doesn't pass the, you know, vanilla test, but it enters the battlefield with number of +1/+1 counters equal to an amount of mana spent to cast it. And whenever it attacks, you may exile target creature card with lesser power from your graveyard. And if you do, create a token that's a copy of that card and that's tapped and attacking. Exile the token at the end of combat. This is a much worse and weirder Alesha, I think.
You know what's also? It's also a worse Yore Tiller name.
And it's also a worse kind of a Mimeoplasm.
And it's also worse, I don't know.
But now, look at the bright side. Counter. Doubled.
Yay? Wanna hear a bad thing? When I first read it, I thought that you can exile any creature. And I was like, okay, I can play with this. And then I reread it again, and I still didn't figure it out because it is early in the morning. I showed it to Tess, and she was like, yeah, but that's just your graveyard. I was like, no, it's... Oh. I'm stupid. I'm sad now.
So... Not only does it exile it from your graveyard, the token also gets away.
For some reason.
Because, you know, when you wake a corpse, it just shaken, but disappears.
No, it's like, okay, you woke me, I did a thing, but let me sleep now.
It needs to pee because that's so it wanders off.
I guess. It needs to get its coffee, but it never returns.
So we're seeing a part of a... Dredgy / reanimated team in this deck, right? This is the commander for that purpose.
One of the things is that Gyros, you don't have to pay X at all because he's on curve always. So that's a
Yeah, what's the next commander?
It's the one I was most excited for. Thantis the Warweaver is a 3 and a Jund for a 5/5 legendary creature spider. With vigilance and reach. All creatures attack each combat if able. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, put a +1/+1 counter on Thantis the Warweaver.
Eh?
I mean, that's definitely a land matters commander because you need lands to cast it.
What is actually what team is this supposed to be supporting in the deck?
It's supporting the theme that you can now play Spider Tribal with Dragonlair Spider in it.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But
Ishkanak is still the better commander, but you can at least play the Dragonlair Spider.
Yeah, so I was kind of expecting some landfall commander in this Warweaver that could compete with Prosh, not by sheer power, but with a radically different style.
Honestly, imagine this. It has vigilance and reach. Landfall, whenever land comes into play, you get the 1/2 spider with reach.
And death touch.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be cool?
It would. And this way, you have to make your own spiders with death touch and, you know, have them not attack in some way.
Yeah.
Because it also makes you attack every turn as well.
This one is weird.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's just plain.
No. I mean, the placement of this in the deck is weird.
You wanna talk weird?
Yeah?
Igor, tell us, what is the tertiary commander of this deck?
Out of all commanders in this deck, this is the one I'm most excited for, actually. Xantcha, the Sleeper Agent, for 1 and a black and red. It's a 5/5 legendary creature minion. As she enters the battlefield, an opponent of your choice gains control of her. And this is kind of weird, but we'll explain later. Xantcha attacks each combat if able and can't attack its owner or planeswalker its owner controls. For 3 generic mana, Xantcha's control loses 2 life and you draw a card. Any player may activate this ability. We had a card called Sleeper Agent, if I remember correctly. Way back when. For 3 mana, for 2 mana it was a 3-3, right?
1 mana black.
Oh god, yeah. And you gave it to an opponent. And they lost a life each turn, right?
3 life. But it, so was, it was also 3-3.
Yeah, it was a really fun card. And Zancha, from a story, was one of the sleeper agents that Yamot placed in Dominaria. But Urza took a hold of her and actually, you know, rewrote her as, you know, her own person. And then she was one of the weapons used against Phyrexia. And she was one of the main protagonists of the novels, who never got the card. And the Urza actually didn't figure out that that was a mistake, because the set came out, the books came out, but there was no Zancha in the Urza's block. And people were like, what the hell, man? Because she was a really good character. Well, she wasn't a dick unlike Urza.
Well, here you go, like 20 years later, and there it is.
The art is awesome. The card is not super stellar, but she's interesting. She's actually interesting.
She's really cool for Mathas the Seeker, I think. Because you can donate her, and then put a bounty counter on her, and then she gets killed by a bounty hunter, just like in the story.
You can also play her and put all those stupid things, like, you know that enchantment for Ravnica that we did that forces the creature to attack and its control loses some life?
Yeah.
You can put that on her.
Oh, also, do you see the Phyrexian Tower in the background?
Yes. It has a lot of throwbacks, and I'm actually really happy that this is a card. And this isn't actually a bad card by all accounts, unlike the Tantis.
But also, you know, lands matter.
Again, for her, I don't care which deck she is. She's just cool.
So, now that we went through the commanders, let's talk about the theme.
So, first of all, they said this is a Landmatters deck, and that's the theme I can actually see, because there's a bunch of landfall, bunch of ways to ramp, and 43 lands out of this deck, and most of them have 38 to 40. And you have things like Worm Harvest, which is a really cool card. Explosive Vegetation, what's also a fun card that we have? Grapple with the Past and Explore.
Charnel Horde Worm, because it's a...
Yes. Plus, if you're Alex Bertaccini, you can actually play two Explorers. So that's cool. Heroes here, Far Wanderings, which is a card I like. And any new cards that really make the lands matter?
Oh yeah, definitely. Let's see. We have Blood Tracker. It's a 3 and a black creature vampire wizard with flying. You can pay 1 black and pay 2 life. And put a +1/+1 counter on Blood Tracker. When Blood Tracker leaves the battlefield, draw a card for each +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, this is a really good card in Gave. I mean, you obviously need black lands to pay the black mana for his ability.
Nyxia's being facetious. Any other lands matter cards you like, Yurei? Oh, that's cool, actually.
He actually has a...
I'm pretty sure it's a she, because she's nesting dragons.
Really? Oh, come on. Well, like, legitimately. Don't call the police.
No, this isn't actually me trying to, you know, be HW. This is legitimately, it's a dragon that nests eggs. It's bound to be female.
That's my mistake.
So, what does it do when a land enters the battlefield?
So, whenever a land enters the battlefield control, it makes a 0/2, what's it, red dragon creature. That whenever it dies, it creates a 2/2 red dragon creature token with flying. And Firebreed can play red. So it's a really good creature, in my opinion, because first of all, it supports the deck landfall. It has really good stats, 5/4 flying for 5, fine stats. And it protects your strategy from mastery. You can just amass those dragon eggs. And if anyone tries to kill your board, you get a bunch of 2 red dragons and breathe fire and everyone.
So yeah, it's cute.
Also a cool thing, Wind Grace's Judgment. Mm-hmm. 3 and a black and a green, it's an instant. For any number of opponents, destroy target non permanent that player controls. Not sure what to think about this card.
It's a... It's a removal for when... You're not sure you want to play a removal because it's a 1/1, but so you just play this and then it's a 3/1, I guess, sometimes.
But it's 5 mana.
Yeah, but it's instant.
Yeah, that's how I'm kind of torn about it.
It's good in...
Yeah, definitely, but I'm thinking, is it, you know, worth the 5 mana? I'm gonna go with yeah. Not sure.
It's non-land permanent, so, you know, it can kill planeswalkers.
But lands, though.
Hey, lands matter, so you can't touch them.
Kill them.
So, overall, the deck is... So, you know when I said that the Esper deck was a pile, but it was a themed pile?
Yeah.
Well, the Jund deck is actually just a pile of cards.
I'm gonna actually disagree because you can see the theme that, you know, you're supposed to be amassing lands for some reason. Because you're gonna, you know, be amassing lands and put things together, getting them back. You can see the theme really, really hard. Now, the theme has been executed really poorly and the deck itself is really meh. But the theme is actually the mostly seen here. But problem is, you know, it's really badly done.
It's like hardly even done at all.
There's a bunch of things that care about lands.
But...
What do you do with it? That's the thing.
I mean, yeah, this is why this deck is so hated by everyone.
You know what would be perfect? A walking ballista in this deck. Just imagine that. Put ballista and put the hangerback walker in the deck. You're not putting that much money in the deck. Because they're not that expensive cards anymore.
Yeah, I think it's a great power-up for it. Because, I mean, generally, it basically never goes away from because...
Yeah, but, yeah, and like I said, this needs something to actually finish the game with.
I mean, you can finish the game with Avenger of Zend.
You can, yeah.
Or a blood-rushed Rubble Hulk.
Yeah. All the choices we have.
It's just such a...
It's not good, well executed, right?
It's not well executed.
And that's it.
I mean, there's Crash of Rhino Beetles that actually cares about lands, but not landfall. But then there's also Loyal Guardian that puts +1/+1 counters on your, and that's like so far from the deck that I don't, I mean, he's obviously there for,
Both Gyrus and Tantis, for both of them.
Yeah, there you go. And for Blood Tracker.
But that's so specific.
I know.
There's only like 3 cards for that.
Remember when I said it's really badly executed? There you go.
Talking about badly executed, it also has the Loyal Apprentice that creates artifact tokens at the start of your combat.
Yeah.
So...
I'm gonna give him one good thing. Thing that's being printed in this deck is Mirrored Landscape, Rocky Tar Pit, and what's the last one? I think there's one more of those. Oh yeah, Mountain Valley, the slow fetches.
Oh yeah, they're two slow fetches, the two poor man fetches.
But that's the thing, at least fetch lands that can get you dual lands later, and that's actually good for the format. I actually wish they finished the cycle and gave us this properly here.
You know what's the problem?
Hmm?
4 decks, and none of them have Chromatic Lantern.
But this deck has Temple of the False God, so that's good. Don't play that card, it's a trap, please.
It's a trap in the tricolor decks, end up.
It's generally a trap.
No, I don't think so.
Niksha, admit it, it's not that good of a card, but you have a love for it. It's okay if you say, I like the card. That's okay to say.
I'm not saying I like the card. I'm completely... like, detached from the card. I don't care about the card. It's just, I can see the card being played in, like, Sig, but I don't see the card being played in KNT.
I mean, most decks shouldn't be playing it, honestly.
Fine, okay.
I mean, we talked about this on the show, we talked about it in person, you know my opinions of this.
I do.
But let's go to the last deck so we can wrap this up.
Oh, the last deck. Oh, man.
Yurai, what's the commander, please?
So, she has to the mask. She is a 4 mana banja. She's the Beller +2 untaps.
No.
It's enchanted you control.
Yeah.
Completely different.
I'm sorry, I'm a bit tired now. So, she's a great enchantment general. The team of this deck.
Yeah, but let's see what the rest of her abilities are.
She has a minus to create a white or attaches another type. Token as a totem. If that permanent dies, the token dies.
And her minus 7?
Her ultimate on cards of your library graveyard to battlefield for aura. So but, you go to 14 not, cards.
It's not from those 7. You mill 7 and then anything that's in your graveyard, get it back.
Oh really? I skipped that. That's different. That's great.
That's basically playing replenish.
which is not reprinted.
Because there's a good list, I think? I'm pretty sure it's because of that, because silly. Okay, what are the secondary commanders?
Secondary commanders, let's see. We have Kestia the Cultivator. It's a 4-mana 4-4 legendary enchantment creature with Bestow for 6 mana. Of course, all of it includes Bent. Enchanted creature gets +4/+4. Whenever an enchanted creature or enchantment creature you control attacks, draw a card.
This is an okay commander for, you know, the enchantment deck.
Yeah.
If you're going to be playing something like Terror's Themed or something like that, this is a really good commander.
Sure, sure. But, I don't know. It's a go-wide aura strategy commander.
Basically.
And how often do you go wide with auras?
If you're going to play something like Starfield of Nyx or something like that, you actually can, because you just, you know, turtle up with your enchantments, make them all, you know, creatures, and then just go attacking.
Sure, but I don't know. It's kind of weird, you know, playing...
It is.
But I don't think it's weird in a good way. It's just bizarre.
It's
quite straightforward, but...
Good thing about it is aura.
It's
good thing that it's filling, you know, a new design space for Commander.
I'm not saying
I'm going to be playing this or that I like it this much, but it's interesting.
Well, on the positive side, it's a commander that's always 6 mana.
That's the thing, yeah.
And the last commander is...
I mean, we have Tuasa and we also have Alexamitis. Yeah. Which one do you want to talk about, Yurei?
Tuasa the Sunlit, 3 mana for Shaman, 1/1, it gets +1/+1 enchantment. And also, whenever you cast your enchantment spell, you draw a card. They can't counter. They can counter a spell, but you cast it, so you draw a card. The other is buffed. So
yeah.
She draws and gets buffed, but draws one spell.
I mean, one good thing, it says lit in the name, so that's good, so you can make all the memes.
It's lit.
But, yeah, I'm not sure what to feel about, but I mean, this is a good Enchantress, Star of an Archetype, because you always have kind of an Enchantress ready for your deck.
Her biggest flaw, I think, she can't draw a bunch of cards and keep replenishing.
I'm pretty sure that was the point. They deliberately decided not to make that.
True, but then again, there's a creature in the core set that draws a card whenever you play an Enchantress.
Yeah, but that cannot be readily as accessible as the commander, right?
Right, but hey, they made enchantment support in the core set, and like just the decks came literally after the. But
yeah, which means it's easily upgradable.
You play with it. See, I don't see an actual deck. Actual enchantment. I don't know. They are better.
You mean Zur the Enchanter?
Yeah, that's.
But I mean, for these colors, I don't think you actually find something more dedicated to enchantments. Rafik, if you're gonna go with auras.
Yeah.
But he's not Enchantress, he's just, I'm gonna smack your face.
I think this is enchantment.
Yeah, either control or, you know, just regular pillow fort.
Yeah, it can work there.
Yeah, but the last commander is, I think, most fun. Arixamidis Slumbering Isle for 2 and a green and a... blue, it's legendary creature Kraken. It's a 12/12. It comes into play tapped with 5 slumber counters on it. As long as it has a slumber counter on it, it's a land. And whenever you cast a spell, you may remove the slumber counter from the Arixamidis. You can tap it to get a blue and a green. This one is freaky.
It's a freaky fish.
Yeah. It's a huge bloody ass island that's gonna smack you in the face sooner or later.
Well, this also enables other blue players to live their wildest dreams, and that is countering a land.
That's a good point, yes.
You can actually counterspell a land. Okay.
Oh, come on, guys. I just paid 8 mana to cast this land. What the hell?
Just a land. It's not gonna hurt you.
Also, Stephen Green from Commander Versus can now actually cast his land. Because he's been known to actually know whenever he plays land, I cast this land. And, you know, it just gives him a look. But now, it's real.
So, it's freaky because you don't have to remove the slumber counters. It can remain a land forever.
Yeah.
So
if you really need a land.
But it doesn't have trample. But I think that can be, like, you know, easily corrected with a Rancor that, by the way, is not printed in the deck for whatever reason, you know.
But don't worry, Nix, something like, you know, Ground Seal is, so that's good.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I think its potential looks kind of derpy. It looks like it won't work, but I think there's a potential because you can put it into play, just let it be a land for some time, put Nylea with Nylea can be destroyed, so stick around for however, and she gives it trample, and they're just sitting there, can stealth or just wait. So you're playing blue, you're kind of, so you can just buy your time and wait until you have enough buffs or something just one shot. So.
I don't think you even need that, because this is a really good control finisher. You just need to have him sit, you know, around giving you mana, and when you control game enough and bounce enough things, you can just go smack him in the face.
Well, you just give him 9 more power and he kills anyone with commander then.
Yeah, but you play something like Whirling Wave. This thing doesn't get actually removed.
That's true.
Plus, it's always nice to, you know, take an entire island to kill a person. Also, did you know that, you know, one bird can stop an entire island?
Yep. Yeah, a squirrel can stop it and 12 squirrels can destroy a land. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Well, there you go. So it doesn't pass the squirrel test.
It's magic.
Nothing passes the squirrel test. Not even the squirrels. Anything else interesting from the new cards or the old cards?
Well, Enchantress's Presence is being reprinted.
And that's a big one.
And the rest is absolutely nothing.
Basically, I'm just going through the reprints again. A Reclamation Sage is a good card, even though, you know, it's not expensive. You just need more those in your life. Also, well, Bruno Light of Alabaster is a good one.
And Hydra Omnomnomvivor.
We already mentioned it in this episode.
Yep. It's in the wrong deck.
It's definitely in the wrong deck. But they often do this, you know, just... you could have this, so you could maybe just, you know, buy this deck as well. So, you know... Also, this deck only has one artifact. And it's O-Ring.
And this deck really needs its mana.
Yep.
So, yeah, why aren't there 3 Signets here? I don't know. Or, you know, a Commander Sphere or Chromatic...
Also, Nylea's Colossus is a cool card. For 6 and a green, it's an enchantment creature giant, 6/6. Constellation, whenever it or another enchantment enters the battlefield, under your control, double target creature's power and toughness until the end of turn.
That's really nice with an island.
Yep.
Also, I want to just briefly mention that there's a cycle of Commander Storm cards.
Oh, yeah.
So, every deck every deck has a card. A sorcery or an instant, that when you cast it, you copy it for each time you've cast your commander from the command zone this game. One gives you a 4/4 angel, some of them, so one copies instant and sorceries, one, sacrifices creatures. I mean, none of them are really...
Good,
because they're Commander Storm cards, and is there really a commander that you cast a bunch of times?
Prosh with Food Chain, but if you already have Food Chain out and Prosh, you most likely win the game.
Oh yeah, talking about Prosh, there's that one card that's really good with it.
What does it do?
I'll let Yuri do that because he loves the card.
But I love it. The card is Myth Unbound, 3 mana, green. It says that your commander costs 1 less to cast for each time you can cast basic. Kind of halves it dies. There's another, but whenever your commander is anywhere, you draw a card. So I think this card is great. Again, my anime. Just play this. You have it that everyone sort of wants to kill as fast as possible, as many times as possible. This will a bunch of value. You can just recast every two have land. So I think it's great for obviously Prosh.
You get to draw your deck.
You draw your deck, yeah.
It's kind of sad that it's sad that if you can, you know, draw your entire deck, you're most likely going to win. So anything else you got to talk about?
So, about the adaptive enchantment deck. Well, first of all, I don't like it because it's aura-based. Secondly, like, there's this one creature that would be a really amazing inclusion in this deck. It's not worth a lot of money, and it's actually... kind of popular, and that's Slippery Bogle.
Oh yeah, Slippery Bogle.
And another card I would like to mention is Silhanna Ledgewalker.
Oh, like, we mentioned her in the Rarica thing, right?
Yep. So, why are those two cards not in this?
I mean, obviously, because they've had to put things like Elderwood Scion in, or...
I mean, Scion is okay, but you have Aura Gnarlid, you have...
Oh yeah.
Daxus of Miletus for some reason? He's almost unblockable, but not quite unblockable.
I mean, he's good when you put a couple of enchantments on him.
Archetype of Imagination, for some reason. I mean, it's an enchantment creature, so it works with the nymph, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
This deck is really focused on those enchantments, so I would say that with the Izzet deck, it's most focused when they made it. But again, there aren't any, you know, like key enchantments like Rancor. Rancor is like a basic aura enchantment for any kind of aura strategy, right?
Yep.
Or for that matter, any enchantment that returns itself when it's destroyed. Like any. There's many of them. Plenty of them. Yeah.
I mean, you know that commander people usually make products like this so you can actually upgrade your deck.
Yeah, but, you know, they could actually give some base for the deck. And also, with the increased MSRP, they could have really, like, put something more than
that...
actually nothing of value in adaptive enchantment except for Enchantress's Present.
That's a good point.
Like, they're really weak on the reprints for a MSRP of $40. I mean, sure, on Goldfish it says that you get $115 in paper, but, like, most of these are under $1 cards. So they're bulk, and most of the price is from the new cards, and new cards will drop in price eventually because, you know, there's actually gonna be new cards on the market.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that's another part why people are really upset about these decks, is the increased MSRP, and I believe that last year they even stated that MSRP will be raised in order to slightly raise the power level or something like that. And, well, they did one part of the promise. They definitely increased the MSRP for...
Yep.
I don't know what reason.
I have no idea. But here we are!
And the worst part is, if people actually boycott these decks, then they will see that, the Commander decks were a flop this year. Let's discontinue this product. Because that's what they do with any product they make. Except Standard. They still didn't.
So, are we done with the decks?
I think we are. Yeah, those are the four decks that are. So, what are your final thoughts? What if you were getting a deck, which would you get?
Me, personally, I think that would be the Esper ones, though.
Okay. Yurei, how about you?
Well, I can tell you what deck I would buy, but I think the Esper, but I would buy it because I like it. It's great. I want...
And that's why kill lands, because everybody ramps.
Well, you see, so that's why you put Get Good Monster in the deck, and then, yeah, kill my lands, please.
Okay.
Okay, is that a challenge?
No, basically, I'm getting encouraged to kill lands. Okay. You have to get to the mana to actually cast the Gitrog Monster.
Yeah, the Gitrog Monster is actually, like, the first thing, if you're gonna upgrade Nature's Vengeance, that's the first card you get.
Yeah, why isn't...
I don't know, it's too new, I guess?
Not really, but you know.
Well, apparently it is, because I can't see another. It's not put in here. Maybe they had like a mythic limit, and instead of it, they put in Avenger of Zendikar. I mean, Avenger of Zendikar is a good card, but you know, they put in Soul of Innistrad that returns creatures from graveyard to your hand. So it's not a Land Matters card. It's really bad with Gyrus because you lose your targets.
It's weird. Let's not delve about this anymore. Any final thoughts, you guys?
Oh yeah, and for me, of course, it's Esper because Ninja.
Yeah, I figured that would be the reason. Yurei, any last thoughts for us?
Yes, I think we experiment the decks the last year, right from the
Oof.
Box.
Oof.
Because those were insane. It seems like they don't have as much... It seems like there's a bunch of good stuff in each deck that kind of...
Yeah, but that's generally the theme of this year.
Yeah. Mediocrity.
Yep.
But the generals are really cool. That's what bugs me. Generals are kind of a bulk pile of rares. Kind of.
I mean, yeah, that's it.
That's about it.
That hits the nail on the head. So, Nick, any last thoughts from you?
Shame, really.
Yeah. Any last thoughts from you?
Well, yeah, it just continues the trend they started with the Masters set. Just put in a couple of hype cards, get people pumped, and then when the spoiler season is coming to a close, when you have to give that final push to get people really hyped, they kill the hype.
Womp womp.
It's like revealing the Jund deck, the entire Jund list, was like revealing the tree of, what's it called? Tree of, the mythic tree in M25.
Oh yeah, tree of redemption.
Tree of redemption. Like, okay, good job. Nice mythic. Thanks, guys. Nice mythic pick.
Thanks, guys. So that's it?
That's about it.
Okay, this has been episode 76 of the Elder Dragon Brawl podcast. This has been Igor, Niksha, and for this episode, Yurai.
So,
say hi, guys.
Hi.
Goodbye, everyone.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
Except against bad command.
Womp, womp, womp.